What's your name? Where are you from?
I'm Peter Ball, and I work for ScreenReach Interactive.
I'm Andy Lloyd. I work for the Centre for Life in Newcastle, and I'm also one of the data ambassadors for the Culture Code initiative.
What's a data ambassador?
Good question. I'm learning as I go along. My organisation has agreed to provide data for the Hack Day, so that's a big part of it. But also, as one of the geekier members of the cultural community, I'm helping other people to identify what data they've got, whether in fact they've actually got any data, or whether stuff they've got lurking on their computers even is data, and then helping them get that to the event, and hopefully in a format that developers are going to be able to use.
What's ScreenReach's role in all of this then?
Well, I'm basically here to see if we can sort of make use of the things that, you know, the data and stuff that's out there from the sort of cultural things, you know. We're basically thinking of interesting ways we can use our technology, you know, new ways we can apply it, and sort of, I mean, a few of the people I've been speaking to tonight have sort of like had interesting ideas, and I've sort of been able to say, well, we could sort of add something, you know, add a new level of interactivity. I mean, our platform is all about engagement of people, and a lot of, you know, art and installations like that, you know, is all about engaging people in new and interesting ways. So we can add a sort of additional element to that. That's something that we're really interested in doing, basically.
Initially, a lot of the value that people are talking about right now is in the long tail. It's not about financial gain. But you are technically a company who have quite a successful app out at the moment. Are you in it for the money? That's what I want to ask.
I mean, at the moment, it's just sort of like looking at different ways we can maybe apply our technology. I mean, if there's a way we can do that commercially with some of the people here, then that's great. But sometimes we're just out for like ideas and different things, and maybe, you know, sort of play around with our technology and see how we can apply that. But sure, if someone's centered in a commercial relationship, then yeah, that's great. But, you know, it's just sort of new ways we can apply our technology is what we're really interested in, I think.
And this, how can we make money out of all this data we've just got lying around? That's a question that crops up a lot, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I've had that conversation several times today. But I think the Culture Code Initiative, or this project, if somebody does come up with an idea or develop an application that makes money, that will be fantastic. But it's probably incredibly unlikely. And the value, as I see it, from this event, or for this whole sequence of events, is the contacts that we make and the relationships we build up by people from two different worlds meeting each other. One of the things is that people in the arts and cultural world aren't very well sort of informed or very intelligent clients, in the sense of they know that they want something, but they don't necessarily know the detail of how that's created or really how to ask for the right thing. So that sort of skill will develop over this program. Also, knowing who's out there and what's possible. There's quite a few people who I think have come away from the event tonight with a sense of, oh, I never knew you could do that, or I never knew that this little bit of data I've got is actually interesting or could be used for something. This whole project will have been successful if more people are thinking like that. Well, there might be some projects and some apps that come out at the end of the Hack Day, that'd be great, but I don't think they're actually as important as the relationships that we build up between now and then.
Definitely. It's quite interesting to kind of see the serendipity that can be born out of these relationships, and also in an upsetting way, that's almost immeasurable.
It is, yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons we're glad you're here, sort of watching what's going on and recording things. But yeah, it's not about trying to have a sort of a list of quantifiable outputs at the end of the project. Unfortunately, with the Arts Council, we've got a funder who recognises that actually it's the intangible that's often where the value is, rather than the formal financial things.
What can you tell me about ScreenReach's former collaborations with the cultural sectors and the value that might have stemmed from those meetings?
I mean, basically, we've been working with a lot of like commercial companies and stuff like that. I mean, the main thing is sort of see how can we apply our technology to sort of like beyond the sort of big commercial companies. I mean, we get a lot of clients coming to us, you know, asking for a for our sort of stuff, but we're kind of looking at all sort of things. I mean, me personally, I'm here sort of thinking, you know, how can we apply our stuff? But even if we can't do anything directly with our technology, there's still maybe some ways we can use our skills to sort of, you know, expose the information that people have here in a sort of new and interesting way, either using our technology or part of that, you know, to sort of like bring it to more people, I think.
Your technology's been adopted into theatres, hasn't it? There's been a kind of a mobile voting system.
Yeah, I mean, we use things like, I mean, one of our experiences allows people to like to vote on, you know, sort of show their, like, whether they like or like something, you know, when somebody's like speaking during a presentation, that sort of thing. So we have sort of real-time things where you can sort of like vote up and down what you think of something going on. So those sort of mechanics we can apply in maybe a different, more creative way, like what do you think of something that's going on, maybe. And also we've done things in museums before where, you know, you can find information about exhibits, and that seemed to be something of interest to some of the people here, as they would sort of like to do that sort of thing and sort of like make it more interesting, you know, engage people in what they have. You know, maybe they don't have some data that they're, you know, explicitly exposing, but maybe they have an exhibit they just want to make more interesting, and how can we do that? And maybe our technology may allow them to do that in an interesting way they hadn't thought of before.
Well, in fact, there's something that's a conversation that we had earlier this evening that might hopefully get picked up on the phone tomorrow or start of next week, which is I want to start thinking about whether some of the control that ScreenReach's application offers can be applied to things that aren't screens. We've got a few ideas of things that are coming up in the future, but I think the most exciting one is two important words, Tesla coils.
Oh, okay. Nikola Tesla.
Yeah.
And his machines.
Yeah. Well, we have a musical Tesla coil, and we're just looking for an interesting way to control it.
With ScreenReach's technology as well, it would be very easy to set up a choose-your-own-adventure play where there are multiple possible endings and the audience would decide on which direction the play is. It would bring them into the theatre, surely, every night, because the play would never be the same. Yeah. And you look more at the audience and who's there as to thinking, are they malicious enough to make it an interesting night tonight, perhaps? Loads of possibilities there. Culture Code Initiative, what does it mean to you?
It's basically, I think, the main point is bringing people from the culture and coders together. I mean,
has it done that?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I came into it sort of thinking, you know, where is the connection there? But it's so obvious now that we have a lot more in common. And sometimes there was ideas I was speaking to one person about an installation they had, and I was thinking, how could we make that more interactive? And they were like, wow, we hadn't even thought of these sort of ideas. So, you know, it's sort of like two communities, you know, who had, you know, a lot of in common, but didn't really realise it until tonight, I think. And that's the main thing that I've realised.
Is that common thread an inherent creativity?
I think so, yeah. I mean, one of the things that's coming out is that the software developers we've seen tonight are also artists. They just work in a different art form. The other thing is that while I think the arts and cultural organisations here, they're never going to be the most lucrative clients in the world, and that they usually have quite interesting, exciting ambitions. They're probably the most creative, exciting clients a lot of companies will ever have, and they're the sort of projects that then become a showcase for the skills and talents of the companies, which can be used to help them win more lucrative commercial work.
What are you looking forward to in the future?
In the short term, I've got a new exhibition to open, and there are some digital elements that I've still not commissioned yet, so it's incredibly useful to be meeting people. Longer term, I think for me, it's science exhibitions that are full of computers that nobody realises are there.
Where can people find you and where you work?
Okay, Centre for Life is right next door to the Central Station in Newcastle. If you turn left, you'll see a very large illuminated 20-foot-high sign saying Life. That's us.
Where can people find your stuff?
They can find our application on the iTunes Store and our website, screech.com.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.